There's a lot to say when buying a new home or car, but only one thing to say that can help you protect them. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And just like that, a State Farm agent will be there to help you choose the coverage you need, no matter where you are in life. When you need coverage options, your State Farm agent is there to help, on the phone or in person. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery. Code Wondery.
Steel yourselves. For the Nerdist Podcast number 402. Quick intro. I just want to announce some stand-up dates. Please come out. I will be performing in San Francisco September 11th through the 14th at Cobb's. Tickets are available for that. And September 27th at the Wilbur Theater in Boston, Massachusetts. I believe a young tyke by the name of Matt Meyer will be opening that show. If you're from Boston, you probably know Matt, so come out and see him as well. And November 8th at the Carolina Theater in Durham, North Carolina. Information about those is at Nerdist.com/calendar. Very tired. Just got back from PAX. I got to play Titanfall, which I highly recommend when you're finally able to play it. When it comes out, you should play it because it's really awesome. And so now, just unpacking, doing a little podcast intro. This podcast is Nico Case, yet another musician that I adore that I was somehow able to trick into coming on the podcast. And I had always suspected that Nico was really funny, and she absolutely did not disappoint. Hilarious, twisted, wonderful sense of humor. So, Nico Case, you know, you're probably like, hey, Nico Case, Chris Hardwick, I have not yet listened to Nico Case, might a small percentage of you might say. First of all, I'm sorry that you've been robbed of such an experience. So your second question is, what's a good album for me? What's a good entry-level album for me, Nico Case? I would recommend Fox Confessor Brings the Flood. That's a good Nico Case entry album. And then you should also definitely buy her latest album, which comes out September 3rd. It's called The Worst Things Get, The Harder I Fight, The Harder I Fight, The More I Love You. So that will be available September 3rd, possibly by the time you even listen to this podcast. So here we go. There's podcast number 402 with Nico Case. I told you this would be quick.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Silence fine.
Yeah, silence fine. You have to turn it. And if it does go off, it's not the biggest deal in the world.
No, Chris, put my phone.
Oh yeah, we should probably close that because they're playing the same Daft Punk album over and over again.
Well, that's just weird.
They keep playing it one more time.
Oh, come on,
folks.
You know what? I got to give that to you.
I'll be here all week.
You will,
literally.
No, you should go home.
Is it bad if they bring me coffee right in the middle?
No,
they can do anything.
We've had many,
many
coffees brought to us.
There's no real structure to this other than we'll just talk and things will happen in the middle and then at a certain point.
And when he says things will happen in the middle, not a lot's going to happen in the middle. It's going to be a continuation of our conversation.
You can have whatever you want.
I'm just kind of stupid right now.
Why? What did you? Are you just coming off a crazy tour of interviews?
Yeah, but then there's also getting up at the crack of dawn and. Here, which one am I? I'll just turn my head
again. You're number one.
Number one!
I'm gonna do this now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah!
Thank you. No. I'm so short waisted, I can never reach anything. I'm like a. Weird. I'm like a frog.
You're the
really
opposite
long
of
legs
me.
And
I have the complete opposite. I have the torso of a 6'4" man and the legs of a tiny dancer.
You won.
I have an inseam of 29.
It's
You're
better
welcome.
Than being a frog.
Is it though? Frogs, I feel like they got nothing to worry about. They just sing about rainbows.
That's right.
No. It's not that good.
Does this mean you're going to cover Rainbow Connection now?
I'm not worthy.
What?
I'm not worthy.
Yes, you are. Come on.
No.
I've been bugging you. I started bugging you a while ago to come on the podcast, so I apologize.
I liked it.
Okay, good.
No,
good,
I liked
good,
it.
Good. Well, not only am I a huge fan of your music, but I have been absolutely delighted in every interview that I've ever heard of you. And I remember listening to you on KCRW once quite a few years ago, and you were so fucking funny and laughing and having so much fun, and it was almost like they didn't know how to deal with it.
Yeah, that's happened. That's happened before. A few times now.
So I just thought, I think I want to get you on the podcast.
Well, this is going to be like kooky sleepy time, but then I'll turn into awake kooky time.
That's fine. So
okay, so as long as you guys are okay with that.
Yeah.
So do you sense that the first half will be like we're in this sort of weird dream state? And then you'll start to snap out of it, and then
well, the first person I saw when I got here was Foxy Katie Seagal, so it's already pretty surreal. And then a weird, huge piece of palm tree fell on somebody's car right out front, right in front of her, and then I just petted a friend's cute dog, and it's a pretty wild ride, but I'm in. I'm here.
Welcome to 10 Minutes at Meltdown.
Do you think you... Yeah, come on in. Bring the cup in.
The dog exists. See? It wasn't a dream.
No.
I was just bragging on your dog. Oh,
I think you... Ragging. I think bragging. You died on the way over. This is...
This is Seven.
That's Seven, the dog.
Seven. What kind of dog is Seven?
A Border Terrier.
That is a fucking cool dog.
He's a sweet little gentleman is what he is.
But he's sort of like if you were to tell someone like... Quick, think of a dog. Like, that's what I would think of. Like, that kind
that's
of...
That's awesome.
There's almost kind of like a Benji quality to him.
Totally. Someone's telling me he looks like Baxter from...
he totally
Anchorman.
Is. Anchorman, yeah. Oh my God, he totally is.
Yeah, he's the prototypical dog.
That's fine. Like, I always have that sort of thing in my head, too, of like, if I was asked to draw a dog for an alien. And that, yeah, that's pretty much what I come up with. And the car I would drive is a 90... I would draw a 97 Cavalier. That's exactly what I would draw.
Well, that is oddly specific.
That's
just like such
specific.
A car. Wow. It is just, that's the car. It's the proportions are
that's
two wheels,
what a
the
car
trunk goes
is.
Out this far. The It's just, that's a car. And that's a dog.
Wow.
You're
so
welcome.
How long have you been in California now? Because you were in Arizona for ages, right?
No. I live in Vermont, so I was just there. And then I flew in the night before last. And
I thought you were recording in Tucson for some reason.
I was, but that was back last year.
Oh, okay.
I take a really long time to make records, so I kind of... I'll crop up here and there. I'm like a cold sore. I just show up. You don't know when I'm going to happen, but like if you're going to go on a date or something, that's probably when you'll be like, oh, she's in Tucson recording.
Now, if I make out with someone, can I give them Nico Case?
Probably.
Or is that how it works?
Don't loan out your chapstick.
Don't at all?
That's what I'm saying.
Is that how Nico spreads?
Mm-hmm.
don't
loan out your comb.
At all?
No.
That
never.
Comb that we all carry in our back pocket.
Yeah.
That was pretty popular in the 80s. People would carry a fucking plastic comb
in their
back.
It was popular from 1940 to 1988.
Yeah, but I didn't live in the 1940s, so
well,
all I know is...
Out.
All I remember is just dudes, like, just feathering the shit out of their hair with a comb.
Mm-hmm. I tried to do it, and I just didn't have the right hair. And I felt pretty left out for pretty much all of the 80s.
That sentence almost went two ways. I felt pretty. And then you followed it up with a slow left out.
I've felt pretty for maybe like 4 total minutes of my entire 42
years. We have
years.
So much in common. It's 3
we
minutes.
We could make the perfect child here on the show.
Let's do it.
You with your short legs, me with my long legs. We all feel pretty.
Happen.
We're going to have the most beautiful kid ever.
And that kid's self-esteem will
and it's going to be like PBS because you guys will have heard the child conceived right here on the show.
That's right. And then I'll just sit here and awkwardly ask questions about Tucson while you guys are doing your business, and then we'll have.
I'll
a
be
child.
Like, yeah, we did digital and analog. We used to picture both.
And, all right, I'm done. Baby's ready.
What?
Baby's ready.
That was really fast.
Thank you.
That was only like.
I'm still gestating. Not yet. Not yet.
Oh,
wait.
Oh my
wait.
Gosh! Are you the alien
I'm
we have to describe
it.
The dog to? Even on the Live from Austin album, there's like your banter in between the songs is really funny, and I wonder, or was it the tigers? There's one where you're talking about like we should feed homeless people the tigers, or it's
it was children.
It was children. We should okay. We should feed children to tigers because they're hungry.
Yeah, they need food, and nobody wants those children. So, I mean, it's at least it's a regal way to go.
Yeah, it really sort of eliminates the abortion debate, right? You can just you have the option, and you carry it to term, feed it to a tiger.
Yeah, do you want to be eaten by a you're not wanted, but you'll be eaten by a majestic predator that's endangered.
A beautiful creature.
And you'll ensure their survival as well. So you'll be actually giving back to nature at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Makes all the, on paper and in real life, it makes a lot of sense.
How do you feel like,
I don't want to see it go down, but.
No. As long as as long as you know it's happening somewhere, it's all
right. Well, then you better unsubscribe to my YouTube channel.
My subreddit, Tigers Eating Babies.
I would have been okay with being eaten by a tiger.
You think so?
It's a pretty nice way to go, I think.
Is that how you want it ultimately someday?
Sure. It's not that natural, because tigers and humans really don't.
Yeah, they do.
Coalesce.
Don't you check out the Animal Network?
Seriously?
You mean Animal
Planet?
It's
not even called the Animal Network. I'm just grasping at straws.
I watch
I'm
Animal
Hoarders.
I'm
so off the grid.
Don't you watch Animal TV? The TV network
Don't
run by animals?
Don't you watch Lice Pickers?
Lice Pickers.
That's a good show.
That's not even the worst reality show that I could imagine that is already on. That is actually a show with the shit that's on some of the channels. Lice Pickers, I'd be like, you know what? Fine.
At least they're doing this. I actually was on a plane with dudes who work on that show, Hoarders, and they were the most disgusting, cunty frat boys I've ever... They were really loud and trying to get everyone's attention. And
really?
They were making fun of these mentally ill people, which isn't... Like, you can fuck up little kids all you want, but making fun of the mentally ill is not okay.
It's not okay.
No.
Feed all the babies to tigers you want.
Yeah, because if a kid were to hear that joke, they would laugh their ass off. I've threatened many children with that, and they find it incredibly funny. But
well, were these guys writers on Hoarders, or were they
camera dudes? And I think one of them did something. I don't know what he did, but they were talking in really loud, like one time on the, and they were getting all these ladies to talk to them, and they were just pigs. They were disgusting pigs.
See, that show you love is run by people.
You
who
don't watch
nice.
That show. You're
Hoarders?
A human.
Oh
you don't
God,
watch
I watch
that.
Hoarders. Are you
no,
kidding
you
me?
Don't.
Yes.
When are you stopping?
Watching Hoarders?
Yeah.
No, I keep it.
Oh,
I'm a
man.
Digital DVR hoarder because there's like 28 episodes of Hoarders on my
I just
DVR.
Aborted.
What?
I just aborted. I just canceled the gestation. I hope you're happy.
All right. Listen, maybe this is what triggers me to hoard.
And this is what triggers me to abort.
This is the life of the relationship that you guys have shared.
Well, listen. It's on. Someone's got to watch it.
We're still friends. Though.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, we'll talk socially.
That's good. Despite the... Mid-conversation, two-minute abortion window.
Listen, Chris, it happens.
Okay. Do you find that, because obviously you have a sense of humor and you're funny, does that get in the way sometimes when people... Because when people hear your music, they might not expect that right away. Or do you not care?
Well, I think that I just would talk a lot on stage in the beginning because, I don't know, there's this weird kind of... rock and roll mythology, like you and the audience will be silent while I craft fucking sound sculptures on you or something.
Right.
And I could never take it that seriously. Like they're not, I just, in my mind, like there's just this constant like flashing, they're not fucking buying it. So just, just tell them you just peed a little in your pants. Cause they're going to know. They're going to know. And I don't know. They seem to like that.
Well, your fans now, like, it's. I would imagine that when people come to see you, they probably feel like they have a relationship with you to a degree, so they probably...
Well, yeah, and I think people like to feel like it's not just your Saturday night that they paid to go to, it's like our Saturday night that we all kind of showed up for, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't feel like, you know, I mean, obviously there are moments when people are fucking rude and you're like, if you don't leave, I'm gonna punch the shit out of you, but... mostly people are just super nice and every now and again somebody will say something to you or something and it's pretty sweet, you know, like they'll say something like they're pretty smart and funny, so it's kind of nice to interact with them that way.
Does it help you make every show a little bit different?
Yeah, and you know that's one of the things about live shows that are really important, and especially like keeping it at a non arena level, not that I'm being begged to perform in arenas, mind you, but I know it's kind of our link to like our individual neighborhood feelings. Like that's where people go and meet their wife or whoever for the first time, or you take your little sister to her first rock show. Like it's a very place specific event, still linked to neighborhoods and where you grew up and stuff, or just you know, just making places different. Because like in a world of like, oh, I did, like yesterday we were at a mall, and of course you walk out in the courtyard and you're like, Buffalo Wild Wings, P.F. Chang's, all my favorite chains, thank you. And you know, a live rock show doesn't have that chain feeling, which is really nice.
When you were before you started performing live, when you would go to concerts and go, oh, that thing, I'll bet that's amazing, does it feel now that you've been doing it for a while and you're on the other side of it, it's like, yeah, this is what I thought it would be?
No, well, that's part of the rock and roll mythology that's so stupid, is like, it's fucking ridiculous. It's so dumb because, you know, that thing I was saying, like, they're not buying it. It's like, if you show up somewhere in a tour bus, they think that you've just gotten out of your pink J-Lo bubble bath or something.
Right.
But it's pretty gnarly in there. And, you know, you've probably seen probably two of the worst truck stop toilets a person could imagine that day. Like, there's no glamour to it. And there's no, like, this is why people get serious substance abuse problems. Not because it's wild and freaky and awesome, but because it's fucking boring most of the day.
Yeah.
So you got to have some interests. Otherwise, you're going to go nuts. And you just do. I mean, I guess I started so young, I didn't really have a chance to kind of... I mean, I had my idea of what, like, Elton John might be, like, backstage or whatever, but... Yeah, gum encrusted black rock and roll bar is kind of humbling.
So what do you do? What do you do when you're, you know, when you're in between cities and you're sitting on a bus for 9 hours?
Well, we drive at night, so generally I'm asleep because I like sleeping in the bus.
Sure.
But we all hang around together and tell really filthy stories and make each other laugh and eat snacks and just feel like a little family in there. Everybody's pretty pretty fucking hilarious.
Are you friends with any comics?
Yeah, I know a few.
Because it sort of feels like you feel like a musician that might have, because there's a lot of like comedy band crossover, like, oh, this band really loves comedy and they're all friends, you know, like the just like how they started adding comedy stages to like Bonnaroo and Bumbershoot. Mm-hmm. And you know, sort of realizing like, oh, there's a little bit of crossover between a certain type of comic. Yeah. And a certain mm-hmm. type
and we're
of
not
music.
Talking about those times John Mayer tried stand up.
No, it's the opposite of that. Actually, we're talking about the opposite of that. But who do you what comics do you like, or who do you hang out with?
Well. That's a very good question. That's the question you should ask me later in the interview when I've woken up a bit, because I'll forget people because I'm a dick who can't remember anything.
Well, then we'll forget to ask the question, so
no,
it'll work
you
out.
Should ask it again for sure, but there's definitely a crossover a lot because we both, like comedians and musicians, really have crushes on each other as far as our jobs, you know?
Yeah.
And we play the same venues, like... They know what it's like. They do. It's like another job that knows what this job is like. Is you can't help but just like run slow-mo across the sunlit field and embrace each other in the middle of the big mwah. You can't help it.
I'm always sort of jealous of... I'm jealous of musicians for two reasons. Number one, you can play the same songs and not have people go, I already got that on an album. Like, people want to hear
you
do it live.
Yeah, that is so shitty that people do that. That's so mean.
And the other thing is that, you know, if you're bantering on stage and you're like, you know, the audience is into this, you can just go into a song and then they're immediately sucked in because that's the thing that they wanted to hear.
They're not always immediately sucked in, though.
You don't think so?
No, sometimes their seed of evil is growing inside you while you're finishing the song and it's just like every strum is like, I hate myself a little more. It's horrible. But I mean, that doesn't happen that often. That's like, there's got to be a little self-loathing already in there for that day, or you had some terrible date, or I don't know what. Just, you got to feel like shit already for that stuff to work on.
I find, though, as acutely sensitive as I am to the energy of a room and how people, because you really do kind of go into this weird kind of slow-mo time where you're kind of read every emotional level of everyone because you're mm-hmm. paying attention. But I do feel like sometimes I can completely misread an audience, and mm-hmm. I go, oh, maybe they weren't into that bit. And then afterwards you find out, like, no, it's an older crowd and they're polite and they enjoyed it. They just don't enjoy it the way that you think they should be enjoying.
Yeah, are people like, it was Berlin. They don't clap there. And you're like, what do you mean?
Who doesn't
they don't
do
clap
that?
There? What are you talking about? No, it's just how they are.
They don't clap on the downbeat over there.
I think the first 10 years of my life were people coming up, I'm so sorry for the audience.
What is
from
that?
The town.
Oh, my God.
I'm so embarrassed of our town. I'm so sorry. Like... I can't even tell you. I mean,
oh yeah, that's
the,
that's that guy. That,
like the super nice fan who's like, "I'm so sorry for our town."
That person in the audience is called the "I got you" person, where they go, "I got it." I don't know where everyone else. Like, even if you feel like the show went okay, and they're like, "I got it." I don't know what anyone else was doing. You're like, "Oh, I thought everyone else kind of got it too. I didn't realize."
I get mad sometimes. And I'll
at that
tell
person,
them I'm
or?
No, just on stage, like when you're feeling like that, I'll be like, I can't believe you, and I'll say like, I can't believe you didn't fucking laugh at that. That was hilarious. You're horrible people.
I think
you probably have hoarders on your DVRs.
You're probably like hoarders because you're fucking sick weirdos like my husband here.
Anyway, this one's off Fox Confessor Principle.
Yeah. He has to watch Hoarders in the Camper. We've made an agreement.
The camper is a mess. I'm sorry.
That's right.
I'm
well,
not going in there to find out.
I can't very well watch Hoarders in a clean environment. That feels wrong for some reason.
It motivates me when there's a new season of that. Like, my house is fucking spotless.
What is it that you like about the show, though? Like, why do you like watching people?
I'm just a little... I find it just fascinating. I find either the
that their brains
whatever
are
the
circuit,
mental
or,
whatever the mental break is. We usually figure that out. We always find out sort of what the situation.
Do they
was
fix these people?
They, you know, it's,
no, it's
not.
A, it's a parasitic.
TV show.
It's a parasitic.
TV show, so it doesn't really, yeah.
Endeavor.
Yeah, and I think there's something endlessly fat. They offer them care afterwards, which they call aftercare.
They glean some skin flakes from the victims, and then they move on.
Yeah,
that's all they have to do.
I don't know. I find it so fascinating. And it's a thing that, like, I sort of, like, figured it out. Like, my aunt was always sort of like that, and I never knew that there was another... that there were other people who were hoarding like
but
that. And I also never knew the name for the thing.
But what if there was like science and nice people that took care of these people?
Yeah, well, that's not happening
so cool.
on television right now. So the only way
right.
I can get my fix.
Fair enough.
Do you watch anything on the... Are you watching... Or do,
no.
Do you watch TV at all?
I watch Adventure Time.
And oh, that's still, great!
That's it.
That's a good show to watch.
I mean, I'm trying to think of something else. I mean, all my favorite shows kind of would end and then...
Like Frasier? Do you like Frasier?
I do like Frasier.
Thank you.
God
Kelly
damn
Hogan
it.
And my band is obsessed with Frasier.
I think you just
obsessed.
Got back together because Matt has knows
David Hyde Pierce. Is
oh,
that
he's
why?
He's amazing. He's yeah. fucking amazing. Yeah. There's a reason he has so many Emmys, Chris.
Listen, I'm not disputing that, but I do think that you are really maybe slightly too much into Frasier.
Listen, the fact that it's just sitting there on Netflix and there's 11 seasons of it for you to get...
I'm so angry that Kelly was like, I'm not going to come down. I got some work to do. I'm going to tell her what she missed today. She's going to cry. She's going to cry.
I have
She's
a
got so much to talk
you
to you about Frasier.
You should expand and say, like, I don't know where you were. I did this Frasier-themed podcast.
My manager, too, obsessed with Frasier.
I've been talking about starting a Frasier recap podcast
called
Toss
Salad
and
Scrambled
Eggs. And that would be the podcast. And we would take
that
callers.
That was really cute that
we would
you guys
take
did
callers.
Like that, too.
Because I've been talking about it.
I guessed that that's what you were going to call it. So I didn't know that that's what you were going to call it.
I have a Cafe Nervosa coffee mug. Anyway.
You ever thought about covering the Frasier theme?
No, but...
You should just
like
break
you said,
into
we're
it.
Back together.
Yeah.
We're so back
you,
together.
I mean, you have to, in the middle of one of your shows, at some point, just break into the Frasier theme, but then not reference it. Don't you think that would...
If you'd like to see video of Kelsey Grammer singing that song in Seattle for some sort of Frasier get-together they had, it's on YouTube.
Well, I'm sure it is.
I thought you were going to say something horrible like, there's a YouTube of him wasted in Seattle just
oh,
singing
no,
it on
no,
the street.
No.
I thought you were going to say something like that, and I was horrified.
No, no, no.
I had my little lemur hands on the desk like I'm bracing
this
myself.
This is post him flipping the Dodge Viper over
oh,
and getting that intervention during season six of Frasier.
Oh, is it that?
That's funny.
So not only do you know about Frasier, you know all the behind-the-scenes shit about
Frasier. I'm a nerd. I have to delve in and experience everything there is to do.
I was once in the house that Roz once owned.
What?
It was nice. And then she got hired on Frasier and moved to a bigger house, and then so this dude bought it.
She recently sold her house in Malibu, Perry Gilpin. Anyway, guys.
Perry Gilpin.
That's such a good name, too.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Chris.
So she, so Kelly, this is her name, Kelly?
Kelly Hogan.
She's really missed an epic Frasier chat today.
I am going to lord this over her for probably 2 years.
You're going to have to sensationalize the story and be like, David Hyde Pierce dropped by for a second just to talk about.
Oh, don't
Miles.
Even think I'm not.
Do you have a favorite episode of Frasier? I don't get to ask a lot of guests this question, so.
It's always scenes where they're talking about stuff in the coffee shop, so I can't like put it to one episode.
Well, there's
it's
yeah.
always little conversations I like I don't even know if I remember what happens in a whole episode.
Oh, they don't really nothing really.
Well,
much
their dad
happens.
Is cranky.
No, I love the dad and the dog is
Martin's
you
great.
Know
Eddie
cute
played
and
by Moose,
who recently died.
And Moose's son died, which took over for Moose after season 6 when Moose died. Anyway, don't worry about it.
You've got to text Kelly God. Right now and be like, I cannot fucking believe what you missed. I mean, this already, do you realize what's happened in just the like 20 minutes?
It's crossed over and I'm actually just hurting and mourning inside for my friend who I love.
So let's talk about everything that happened that are going to convince
Hogan's
you that this is either a dream or you've died. A tree fell on a car. You came in, talked to Katie Seagal for a second, came up here.
I didn't. I actually just watched her talk to him about the dog and it was so sweet.
She liked you,
and
by
I
the way.
And I just listened to her voice, and I was like...
well, we talked. I said, because she has an album. She has another album coming out.
Well, she's a great singer.
She's a great singer, and she started,
and she's awesome.
Yeah. And amazing.
And that's the only word I can think of, because I'm too starstruck by even just thinking about her.
Well, I said... She said, you know, she was talking about her album being kind of folksy, and really... And I was like, you know, Nico Case is going to be our guest at 2 o'clock. And she was like, I love Nico Case. So she's already a fan of yours.
She's lucky I didn't know that, because I would have just tackled her at the knee.
I own you now.
I would have just rolled on the floor with her. I zub you, Katie.
Just imagining you jump and yell Nico Case as you fall out of frame with her. Nico Case!
So wait, she has to shout her own name as she's tackling
someone
at the knee?
That's what she does.
I would be so uncomfortable shouting my own name.
Nico Case!
It's kind of like Captain Marvel yelling Shazam.
I guess that's true.
Or like the Arrested Development guy. Steve Holt. Like,
yes!
I always think of Steve Holt.
Yeah. So you do watch other things. You've seen Arrested
Development.
Yeah,
I
Steve
did.
Holt
I right haven't there. Seen the new season of Arrested Development because I promised my roommate I would not cheat on him and
oh,
watch
that's
it
good.
With someone
you
else.
You guys will enjoy it.
Oh, he'll cheat on me, though, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's probably already
watched
it.
He'll be like, yeah, I watched it with Vange. No big deal.
Didn't know that was a big
deal. I'll watch
deal.
It again.
It's not the same. Guys, it's not the same when someone cheats on you and watches something. They say, I'll watch it again. Those are irritating words to hear. Like, because they already know what happened.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, they do.
Are you about to go on the road for a long time?
Yeah, a really long time.
Man. Do you have to gear up for that mentally? Or do you just like, this is what it is.
Yeah, there's
a
gear
you
truck.
Just, there's a bit of a, there's like momentary kind of, panic attack meltdowns like, oh my God, I didn't clean out the inside of that bucket. I gotta go home for a minute and
right.
you know, like,
let's go
I
back to this bucket.
I didn't wash the sheets in the guest room. Oh my God, like just the weirdest shit that you don't really have to do, but you want everything in your world to be in like this weird suspended animation till you get back. Like if I could just point a laser gun at all my pets and freeze them, just in like I would do it. I'll be like, you can't live until I'm home.
You might disintegrate them if you point
you
a laser
gun
at them.
Freeze gun.
You probably want a freeze ray.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
I know I'm in the room where I need to use the right words.
That's probably why there are small ash piles where all of your pets used to be, because you're pointing lasers at them. And not
DNC was the correct
the Democratic National Convention.
No, the something and scrape or whatever for the abortion.
Oh, right. Yeah,
that's the
second most popular DNC on Google search.
Yeah,
yeah, or it could be the first actually. And maybe the Democrats are the second most popular on Google search. And
donuts and Coke.
Yeah, that's number three.
I'm on board.
And those guys are making hoarders.
That's not powdered sugar, man. It's Coke.
I was really innocently talking about soda.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
All right.
Why'd you have to take it that way?
That's just what I thought of.
Do you ever think, why do I even have a house if I'm rarely going to be in it? Or when you get to your house, are you like, oh, hello, I sort of remember you?
Well, there's, if you're on tour for a long time, there's definitely this weird, it sounds like the way people describe rehab, like when they get out of, when they're alcoholics and they stop drinking and they go through that pink haze or whatever, we're like, I'm not drinking, everything's killer. So you get home and you're like, I'm doing my own dishes, it's fucking amazing, it's like Six Flags, and I'm in my underwear, and nobody's gonna come in here, and I can do whatever the fuck I want. I could macrame right now if I wanted. I could do laundry at 2 a.m. Like, I don't have to get up tomorrow. I could walk outside with this cup of tea right now.
I like to pretend that you're in the back of the tour bus starting to macrame, and they're like, hey, you're not at home. And then you're like, I'm sorry. And then you have to put it away.
I so just imagined just her describing the most disappointing Six Flags.
Macrame world.
Six Flags over Vermont.
Yeah, totally. We're going to do some churning at 6 o'clock. Make sure you come on.
Where's
by.
The roller coaster? Oh, no. Yeah,
don't worry about it.
But then, like, day three.
But it's bear season.
Look
guys.
At these six yeah. flags that we have.
Exactly. But then day two, you're like, where's my military regimented schedule? I don't really know what to do with myself. What is joy?
Does that freak you out when yeah. all of a sudden you just have, it's like, oh, your day is yours now?
Yeah, but that you got to override that shit because you'll be a little bummed out, but then you're like, I must make work. And that's how you become a workaholic.
Yes, I'm very familiar.
Yeah, and you will have no children. You will
check
look down one day and you're barren and you have no family.
Well, check. I don't have to.
But there's a lot of dogs, and so that's cool.
That's right. And the dogs, they're
piling up.
How many?
People just bring them. I have four at home.
Is seven not your dog?
No, it's Matt's dog.
It's Matt's dog. Okay.
And he's really comfortable here, as you can tell.
Yeah.
He's a fucking great dog.
Yeah, he looks like he's made of rubber and hair. He's really cute.
It almost, it, like, from a certain angle, it almost looks like Matt has, like, a hairy fanny pack.
Totally. And
like, it's almost like,
I like how you said hairy and not it's furry.
It's a lap
terriers
shawl.
Have
he's
hair.
A lap shawl.
Terriers have hair and not fur, Matthew. That's the I made the actual biological distinction that terriers grow hair. I
like
believe.
Horses,
right?
Guard hairs.
Yeah, this isn't fur.
They
I believe
grow both.
This is hair, right?
They have an undercoat and guard hairs.
All right, who's watching the Animal Channel now?
Still none of us.
Because there's no Animal Channel. Exist.
There's no fucking Animal Channel. How was Tucson for you? How long were you there?
I was there for a couple weeks here and there. I walked around really slowly during the daytime in the hot. And
yeah. Any faster, you'll just
ate
die.
Things and thought about things really slowly in the heat. It was, I mean, I lived there for 7 years. I love it. So
I used to go back.
It's really nice.
My
to
ex-girlfriend
be there.
Was from Tucson, and for years, we would go back every New Year's because mm-hmm. she would never go. She was like, I will never go in any month other than December because of the heat. So we would go there for New Year's. And because when she grew up, she's like, they didn't have air conditioning. And so the heat
I didn't
is...
have air conditioning either.
Well, how'd you...
What?
Shit,
how did you
we
survive?
Had a swamp cooler.
Okay.
Which is a way more ecologically sound. It's just like... it still is using electricity, so it's not good as gold or anything, but it just... This thing evaporates water through these pads of straw.
Yeah.
And it blows like a cool air that's a little bit moist into the room.
So you just get hot and wet.
No, you don't get wet because it's just too fucking hot. So what you get is like this kind of... cool, semi-moist, like, oh, my tissues really appreciate that bit of water that you're putting on me.
It's nice.
I really notice it.
I like Tucson. I think it's a cool town.
It's great. I like the heat too. And in the heat, all the students leave, and it's really quiet, and it's really less fratty and awesome.
It's sort of it does have kind of a cool. It hasn't totally been soiled yet by. What you were talking about with like oh the P.F. Chang's and then I mean there's certainly little
oh
pockets
no it of, has
but there are parts that because the
I could drive you to all that shit right now.
No, I don't want to go. Don't make me. You can't make me. I guess there are ordinances where everything has to be like a certain color and nothing can be too bright so it doesn't white out the sky at night. It's kind of
well
lovely.
that's because they have a space observatory.
Yes.
So we don't have a lot of streetlights, and they have to be that orange. And that's pretty cool, actually, because you can really see the stars in Tucson. But then again, at the same time, it's a test market. So I think in the 80s, it was one of the first places to ever have cable and internet and stuff like that. And they test it out on people. But then it's also the place where Walgreens has decided they will build as many Walgreens as they can to see how many Walgreens a regular city can sustain.
What's the tipping point?
How many is
too many? Dude, it's fucking harsh. It's just like big box stores everywhere. And you look at them and I try to think of the positive thing. Like, okay, well, they're really easy to tear down. And that's all I can come up with.
That's the best one.
Yeah.
Have you been to the Desert Museum, though?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Do you know what the Desert Museum is?
I mean, it sounds like I'm bagging on Tucson, but really, like, it's a fucking awesome place.
The Desert Museum is basically an outdoor zoo. It's a zoo that is built into the environment, and it's just animals indigenous to the desert.
Mm-hmm. And they have like rehab animals and stuff.
So
it's
something
not like...
tells me this isn't a zoo, and someone just put a fence around a large area look, they're all indigenous.
No. It's not a fence. It's like they've just sort of, you know, they've just created little areas.
Are there things I could read there, like about the animal?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, I'm good. I'm on board.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not like this poor animal is being corralled into an area. Like, a lot of the animals are rehab, like something found with a broken wing, and it lives there now because it would die. But look at its giant feathers up close now, and it's pretty happy, and they'll feed it mice off the giant glove and stuff, and that's pretty cool.
It's not like they're just these giant cages. It's just, you know, like they'll sort of just, you know, build some rocks around and sort of make an enclosure, and it's sort of in the environment.
You just described Disney's Animal Kingdom.
I don't know if I did.
Except none of those are indigenous to Florida.
Well, you've never seen a javelina up close.
That's true. I'll admit.
Or a Gila monster.
Or a Gila monster.
Also agree.
Saw one of those in a parking lot there.
Oh, in the parking lot? Oh, this podcast is not doing your Gila monster impersonation justice.
It's probably really gross.
No, it was good.
It was probably just heading to P.F. Chang's. Orange chicken.
I want some orange chicken.
I live under the dumpster. I came for the lettuce wraps.
It's all white meat.
I stayed for the orange chicken.
It's all white
meat. There's less sinews. I'm old. I can't. My carnassial jaws don't work like they used to.
Now, is that a sentence you thought you would utter today when you woke up?
No, but I'm really excited I got to say carnassial jaws because it's real.
I'm telling you, you watch
science.
You like science.
I love science.
Science is really fun. I always think about when you're on tour now, at least you can go online, or you could have like an Xbox or something in your tour bus or whatever. You imagine touring like in the 60s or the 70s with just like no technology, and you just had to read or talk to people.
That's kind of what we do. We don't really watch TV.
Oh, I mean, that sounds awesome.
It's pretty awesome.
Oh, I mean, that's
we talk
awesome.
To each other, and we do use computers though, so we're not really.
Has it been the same group for a long time, or do you rotate out?
Yeah, we're pretty family style.
All your meals, just spaghetti.
Yeah, and we're not at work. Yeah, it's all like big bowl of salad, big bowl of sketty bread. Dinner time, and we have a big bell on the front of the bus. Awesome. No, we have our blacksmith forge out.
Just a horse.
King.
Did your
King,
horse throw a shoe?
Bell.
We don't have horses. Well, I'm going to make
we're
him
making
a shoe.
Some.
You're going to have some.
I've made you a beautiful fireplace set.
I always kind of, it's one thing that I sort of, I mean, some stand-ups can tour on a bus, but I just fly and do a show and then fly home. But I really would love to, I love driving around the country.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun country.
I just remember listening to Todd Barry go, yeah, I'm in a minivan alone on tour. It's really fun.
Hey, man.
I'm totally alone. I'm really bored. Are you in town? You know? I'm like, you're making it sound so sad.
See, we must be at that point in the podcast because you just referenced Todd Barry.
I did.
Hey, man. Hey, it's Todd Barry, man. I see Todd every once in a while. I just saw Todd in New York.
I haven't seen him. Last time I saw him, he was doing a thing with Todd Glass. And it was it was called, like, they had some clever Todd rhyming scheme name that I enjoyed thoroughly. But anyway.
Was it Neil Before Todd?
No. Oh. That could have been. That would have been great.
Hmm. Have you ever thought about, do you have stand-ups open for you ever?
No. I've heard a few stand-ups say that they don't like to open for musicians.
Mm-hmm.
I think it depends on the musician.
They're like, well, sometimes the audience, they just want music now, and they're not very cool with being patient.
Yeah.
Because they're also pretty wasted by that point, because that's also one of the main purposes Like, it's a different kind of listening. Perform. It's not like you got to be quiet if you're at a rock show necessarily.
Right.
But if there's a comedian, you have to be quiet. So it's sometimes the invisible boundaries have been kind of busted by the fact that we're going to see a rock show. And then, yeah.
It's much different to absorb the vibe of a musician than have to be like, yes, I have noticed that that slices of bread are weird, mm-hmm. or whatever. Then you have to pay attention. I think it just...
You should really flesh that bit out.
Really?
Yeah, the bread slices are weird bit.
Oh, yeah. I guess I'll go punch it up afterwards. I don't know. I'm just thinking, because
you have a career of bits you could have just pulled a little sample from.
I don't want to burn through those on the podcast, man. I just got to make shit up. Like, the bread's weird.
All right.
But yeah, I guess. But I really think it depends on the band. But some people don't even want to see an opener that's not the band that they went to see. So then on top of that...
Some people are dicks.
Yeah, some people are big, giant dicks.
Yeah, sometimes some people are fucking huge loser dicks.
But I have a feeling that you have a no-tolerance-for-dicks policy
at
your shows.
No-tolerance-for-dicks. No, none. I don't hardly get any of those people at my shows, thankfully. Knock on wood. They're pretty fucking nice, for the most part.
Well, that's good.
But the one, well, I shouldn't tell the audience what I don't like to hear, but the only thing that makes me like, I will punch the shit out of you, is if somebody goes, hurry up and play.
Oh.
It's like, I will fucking tear you apart with my hands. Like, I want to see your fucking weird muscles under your skin and your fucking subcutaneous fat, like, under my nails. I want to see it.
Do you want to go to Body World with me?
Totally.
You can see all that stuff.
Totally.
So many blood vessels, you guys.
I fucking trached this asshole with my fucking fingernail. Traked him. Just
like right in the trachea?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad
breathes,
you helped him. He couldn't
he
breathe.
He breathes out of that fucking hole now.
He couldn't breathe. He really helped him a lot.
Hurry up and... Remember as your finger goes in.
Remember that
and
episode?
I'm all like, hurry up and talk, dick. Oh, it's hard without your little vocoder, isn't it? Oh, do you have to tune it? Do you have to get it out of your pocket? Smart ass.
Like, can you tune those?
No.
Oh, that'd be amazing if you could.
Oh, you're so out of tune. With your, I would like a 649 ticket, please. Fuck you.
So, that guy may not be back to another
show. I'm in Pi Delta Kappa Pi. Brother, where is our rush week? Please consider joining our fraternity.
Listen, I think that that is an element that you could add.
I'm going to hell, and nobody's ever coming to my shows anymore because I just did that. So.
I rarely met anyone with as strong a distaste for frats as me.
But oh, yeah.
Could spend weeks together.
Like we are on the
I'm not a sexist,
train.
Though. Sororities can also suck my dick.
Oh, they're fucking ridiculous, too.
They can suck all my fucking weird, freaky dicks that I model out of fucking old meat. Because I hate
old meat dicks. You've modeled a lot of those
meat ends.
Nice. Are they
meat ends and duct tape.
Not?
Meat ends and duct tape. Love Nico.
You're creating a. Please make that an album. You have just a basement full of meat dicks that you've made for people to suck on.
They're rotting and they're waiting. They're just waiting. I'm like different sizes.
It's fun for the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, yeah, because, you know, like you want the
I
show.
Fashioned them on the lathe, and then I covered them in the duct tape.
So you're a...
How do you secure the
craftsman.
Meat to the lathe? I need to know. I've been trying for years.
Well, you have to let the meat age, and it has to be an organ meat, for it has a casing that will securely fasten
I see what
to
you're
the spindle on the lathe.
I just imagine it just looks like shawarma.
Exactly what it looks like.
All right. Anyway, how you doing, Chris?
I am amazing. That's fucking amazing. Because, you know, I mean, obviously you want each show to be different. You want each show to mm-hmm. be fun. You want people to feel like, oh, we're all part of the same thing. But there are some things that people do that are – and it's – they're not – they obviously don't know each other because they're different towns. But they are shockingly similar things that seem like, why would someone think to do that? Yet at every show, there's one person or two people that think to do that kind of thing. Like, hurry up and play. Like, that's a...
What is Buffalo Bill doing in my audience?
He's tucking his dick between his legs and saying, "I fuck me."
You're a really fat person. Hurry up and play. Hurry up and play. Hurry up and play.
I thought you said, "Are we having filet?"
Are we having filet? Is that a dick filet?
Am I going to filet?
Are we having a filet?
Do they call it? Do they call it tenderloin here or filet?
Did you lathe this meat dick here, or did you put it on the spindle?
I prefer
it's not lathed, but it is aged.
I like an aged Kobe beef.
It's been sitting out for the approximate 35 minutes before broiling.
Thank God. Just don't forget to let it rest after we cook it.
Now appearing tonight, Nico Case and the Buffalo Bills. You could just do a whole hour of that. And do they play any music? No. I never said it was a music show.
I told her not to butterfly it because I like the charcoal, but she didn't listen to me, so I killed her.
She wasn't stuffing it. There was no reason to butterfly.
Thank you.
Can I borrow your...
Word to your mother.
We have fun here, guys.
Can I get a witness?
That's the worst Buffalo Bill impersonation ever.
You know,
and every single person on the planet can do him.
Everyone's
and I can't.
Got one.
No, it doesn't matter that it's not exactly. It's captured the essence of what that character is.
As long as they can picture that mullet and the shirtlessness,
then it's fine.
It's fine.
It's absolutely fine.
And the prison tats or whatever.
Just like he captured the essence of those ladies by making a skin suit.
Yes, that's what he was ultimately. That's ultimately what he was trying to do.
Buttery leather.
That's, I guess that's a good way to describe a skin suit, is that it's nice.
Conforms to all the parts.
Any part. Well, you have to piece it together. It's a patchwork. Mm-hmm. You can't just take one person's entire skin.
It's not like a latex dip.
Nope. It's like a murder quilt, is really, you're stitching it together and making a quilt.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you wish, yeah.
I'm listening.
Now, obviously, When you go and do interviews, is there anyone who's like, Nico, maybe don't say but you really want to talk about making skin suits?
Nobody ever tells me not to talk about a certain thing. It's just some radio stations you can't swear on, which is actually kind of better in a way, because then you really get creative. Because if you use the right words, then you can say whatever you want still.
Yeah.
You know?
What was Patton Oswalt's old bit about, like, you can't on television, you can't say I want to fuck your pussy, but you can say I want to fill your hoo-ha with goof juice, which he felt was infinitely more disturbing.
Yeah,
it is. He's right.
Have you ever wanted to? Have you ever thought about doing? Would you ever want to do television, or like pop up on a show or anything, or do you just?
I don't really look good on camera, and I feel pretty weird as an American woman being on camera because. Really makes you think about yourself in a way that you're not comfortable doing if you're like a super balls out human.
Well, it
like
does...
I don't want to think I'm fucking awesome and then I'm like I'm really worried about if I look like I have a muffin top right now. It's like what a pussy thing to worry about.
Well, listen, it's a constant I've dealt with.
It's literally a pussy thing to worry about.
I know, it really is. And, you know, I'm sure dudes worry about it too, but then some people are big enough to get over it. But I mean, like, it's like if I were to go on TV to have to look like a pretty lady, I would be fucking scared and bummed out. But if I got to be like an old prospector with a mustache, I'd be like fucking and action. I'm ready. Get the camera closer to my face right now because I can't wait to do this.
There's gold in them there hills.
Can you help out a 49er?
That like so you would have
Lady
liked
Cop?
To, you would have liked to have been on a show like Deadwood.
Would you yeah.
That'd have been, I think that would have been
the fucking the funnest thing ever.
I mean, listen, the actress who played Calamity Jane was fucking amazing, but I bet you would have liked to have played a good Calamity Jane.
I would have liked to, but I think that I'm not really, I don't know if I'm a good actress or not. I don't know anything about it, really, but I wouldn't have been able to do that good of a job. Not even, like, I've auditioned for stuff before.
Really?
And people laugh, and you're like, maybe they liked it. But then it's like,
nothing.
Which is weird. And it's not like I go looking for that stuff, but sometimes people are like, yes, we'd really like you. I'm holding up a fake phone in my face for the listeners. Yes, we'd like you to come and audition for this while you're in Austin, Texas. Would you be willing to do such a thing? I'm like, okay, that sounds like fun. Sure.
What Mike Judge project were you not cast in?
I was never asked by Mike Judge.
Oh, because it was in Austin?
Yeah.
Austin-based?
I was like, that's the only thing.
Oh, I get it. I'm like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, guys. I work on many levels. None of them enjoyable.
You know all the mediums.
Do you, are you glad?
I do. Long Island medium. She's very psychic.
What do you think it would... Oh, that one.
That got Matt.
Gave me
that got Matt.
I didn't
and
get
Seven
it.
Enjoyed it.
I didn't get it at all.
It was a fucking medium pun. I'm hurting.
You mean like
you say I work in all mediums and then or I know all mediums and then
you mean
I,
like fortune tellers?
Yeah.
And then oh,
I made a pun
okay,
about fortune
okay.
tellers because I hate life and that's how I express myself.
I think I have acid reflux now.
You got to read up in The Old Hotel by Joseph Mitchell.
Okay.
If you like medium stuff.
I will.
It's good.
Spook. I also recommend Spook by Mary Roach.
Oh, yeah. Mary Roach
I have
is
that
cool.
book. I haven't read it yet.
Oh, you'll love it. It's
but
great.
I have my intentions are focused.
I have yet to read a bad Mary Roach book.
We've tweeted back and forth that she said she'd come on the podcast.
Make it happen.
I will. Okay. All right.
Thanks.
I will make it happen.
Ms. Roach to the table.
Roach to the table. Do you not... When you think about other eras where you could have been a musician, if would you have wanted to be like, oh, the 70s sounded cool? Or I think the 80s would have been stressful because it was so music video based, the music industry at that point.
I was so attractive then, though. I would have been amazing. Fucking gold, but.
Well, no, you're not. Do you feel that way about yourself? Are you like, shitty? Are you mean to yourself?
No, I just mean I was like 12.
Oh, you were.
I was like 12 to 17.
That would have been the perfect time.
I could have played a 30-year-old now. Then,
yeah.
Because that's kind of the age group. Like, I would have been in a movie with going out with, like, I don't know, Sir John Gielgud, like we were together.
I don't know if you would have gone out with him.
Yeah, because that's kind of the age difference that men and women have in Hollywood. Like,
no, I just mean he was exceptionally gay.
Well, no, but on screen.
Oh,
see,
I see.
He's a
all
great
right.
actor, so
yes.
you wouldn't know that by
his
performance.
Played,
but
you would have played Alec Guinness's wife in his last role.
Exactly.
Oh, now you make me want to watch Arthur again.
Okay, go ahead.
I would have been like, I probably looked like Taya Leone does now at like 13 or something. You know, like, I was a little harried at the time, but she's a babe.
Yep.
But then again, I was 13, so, you know, I didn't really have any confidence to whip it out. And I also didn't know anything about acting, so it probably wouldn't have really worked out.
Where were you when you were 13? Where were you living?
Probably Vancouver, Washington, and wanting to kill myself and everyone around me.
It's so close to Canada. You could have just gone over there.
Vancouver, Washington? Oh, no, it's like Clark County.
You were, because you were born in Virginia, right?
Yeah, but that was incidental.
And then you bopped over to
my
Washington.
My family are Washingtonians, yeah. I was just born there because my dad was in the Air Force.
Oh, okay. And then Chicago, like, is that...
Chicago later, after I moved to Canada. I've lived all over.
Is that where the new...
Just wherever.
Wherever, it doesn't
just
matter.
Just wherever.
Whatever. Is that where New Pornographers happened? Was that Chicago?
No, Vancouver.
That was
Canadian. They're the Canadians.
Okay,
yeah,
gotcha. Are you still doing stuff?
Oh yeah, we recorded last week at my house.
What the shit?
It was fun as hell.
So what's that like as opposed to when you're recording just by yourself? Like what's different for you?
Well, I don't have to write any of the songs, so there's a lot less pressure. But Carl really enjoys like picking the highest note in the world and trying to get me to sing it. Because he's the kind of man who can laugh inside with a straight face for hours. He's like, evil has a new master, and it is me. I'm going to play this note on the guitar. Ling, ling, ling. You can hit that. You can sing way higher than that. Come on, do it again. Like, I'm crying. I can't hit it.
It feels like shredded
cheese.
Make
me do it again.
Do you have to do a lot of, do you do vocal exercises every day?
Or? Fuck no.
Okay, all right.
Good. No.
That was a stupid question, Chris.
It's not a
go
stupid.
Fuck yourself.
I will go fuck myself.
Leave Sorry. My wife and I alone.
I always find it's. I like to. When you listen to like Joni Mitchell, it's like young Joni Mitchell is like so twee, and then like about a decade later, it starts getting down into here. I think she. I mean,
you also
she
just
was
described
a smoker.
Smoked like a million cigarettes.
Yeah, I think she smoked like filterless cigarettes.
Jesus Christ.
She's kind of a boss.
She's amazing. Have you ever
She's
played
kind
with
of a pant-wearing boss.
Have you met? Do you know her?
No.
Really?
I kind of don't ever want to meet her because I don't want to ruin my golden ideal of Joni Mitchell.
Yeah, but what if you guys, like,
because she's like
connect.
A transformer. She's like 12 feet tall in my imagination, is wearing some fucking flowy pants with like Japanese prints on them and like some boots and smoking like 3 cigarettes at once and just kicking ass on some acoustic guitar and painting her own portrait
at the somewhere. Same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's probably got a lumber mill in the backyard or something. I don't know.
Do you feel like people should not...
Where she crafts rocking chairs.
Thank you. Exactly.
Do you feel like people should not meet their heroes?
A lot of times, yes. It can be really a fucking bummer. A huge bummer. Like, I'm not going to name any names, but I met this woman who is one of my huge idols. And I finally got to meet her after all these years. And I said, hey, we were playing the same, like, charity thing or something, and I walked up to her and I said, hi, I'm really glad to meet you, my name is Nico, and she just went and hissed in my face.
What?
Oh,
like
Carol
a serpent
King. She'll always
no it wasn't Carol King.
God, I want to make a guess at who it is.
You can guess, but I'm not gonna tell you. I'm like a steely fucking wizard. I'm not gonna
Was it Dolly?
No, it wasn't Dolly.
Because
no.
I've heard she's really nice.
I've never met Dolly.
Well, then why would then she
dude,
come up in your brain?
I don't know. I'm just grasping at
because
straws.
You want a guess of who wouldn't be able to hiss because it would be so cute. You'd just go, oh, Dolly, are you imitating a little snakey? What are you doing?
There's a fucking...
And she'd go, my daddy used to handle snakes in church.
And then you're just like... Oh,
I didn't know what sin was. I didn't know why.
That's why at Dollywood, we have snakes for all the kids.
There was a story she told me. She was like, and my daddy came in and said, don't you get them snakes near my babies or something.
So you've hung out with Dollywood?
No, no. I listened to her book on tape.
Oh, gotcha. There you go. Sure, sure, sure.
Literally on tape.
So it was like you were hanging out.
Oh, does she read it?
Yeah, she read it.
That's great.
Fucking A. I suggest you order it immediately.
That's great. I got a lot of book regret.
There's one YouTube video that I, for some reason, I continue to watch over and over again. And it's from late 70s, early 80s. Oh, no, probably early 80s, but it's Kenny Rogers and Dolly. He's singing We've Got Tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And about halfway through the song, then she comes in. And it's the fucking an arena. Like, it's insane. It's just like so many people. And they're just in this tiny little circular. It's in the round. And her voice, it just fucking cuts the place.
She's a freak.
She's got an
and he can't, because his voice wasn't really. His range wasn't that great at this point.
She's a laser.
Yeah, and she was
She's a benevolent laser. And then she has those fucking nails like Charo, and then she fucking plays the guitar and the banjo like Charo. And you're just like, people make fun of you all the time, yet you're kind of smoking them.
I feel like that stopped. I feel like they made fun of the boobs in the 80s. It was the big like, oh, she's got giant tits. And then,
but she made fun of it too.
She did make fun of it too, but I feel like now there's a whole generation of people that just... She's pretty amazing. She still tours,
yeah,
right?
Of course she does.
I know she does.
Remember when she was on Carson? And Carson goes, I'd give about a year's salary
peek under
to peek under there.
Yeah. Which, at the time, he was the highest paid entertainer of anyone.
Which makes it even a greater
statement. $20 million. $20 million.
That's what he's getting
then,
a year?
And then she probably said, oh, hey, thanks, Johnny. But then one
much.
Of her Secret Service elves castrated him the second he left the stage.
I liked it. You know, it seemed like, and I, of course I don't know anything about...
They used a calf nutter, just clunk.
Johnny Carson. Oh, no. Oh, my balls.
Can I steal your water?
Yeah,
I
steal it.
Horrible
I just
coffee
have, I'm
breath on your
I'm picking my dick up off the ground.
They didn't take just the sack.
They just took the sack out.
And have you heard this? My balls are gone.
I'm drunk.
Dolly took that joke a little hard.
That was a lot. It doesn't really feel like the payoff was worth the...
Worst Carsons ever.
Yep, we're the... Well, the Buffalo Bills...
Dolly is just an alien that she just opens up her chest and goes, whoa! And it's just filled
shoots
with
out of her
balls.
Chest. Yeah.
Just all balls from all over.
She's like some weird ball creature.
Whoa! She's made
No,
of...
you just kind
of
said balls. Does she go, balls? Like as she opens her chest.
Yes, she does.
She doesn't have big tits. They're just two sacks full of balls.
Exactly. Yeah. She's like Ball Santa. And she's an alien that's made of, you know, the former glory of young men. Or Johnny Carson's.
Balls.
But she's actually an alien reaping revenge on dickbags.
Nico's Christmas album is called Ball Santa. I've always wanted to... I was speculating that...
It seemed like there was a little something extra between Dolly and Kenny. Now, maybe that's because they're just, that's their performers. They might, they kind of do.
It's just, I'll get back to that.
No, say it. What?
He's saying what condition my condition was in. That's why he'll always be magic.
Kenny did?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
To see what condition my condition was in. Why can't I think? I want to go to the fifth dimension, but it's not. It's touching my head, hoping thoughts will come out.
Look it up, Kitty.
Kenny Rogers Band, it's what condition my condition was in. They're called, Matt, I know you know too.
I could say it every day.
I could say it every day if I wasn't in front of a microphone.
Someone pull up the Big Lebowski soundtrack.
Oh, Lebowski.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would be on there, and it is. We're all just stymied, and it's my fault.
That's okay.
I'm so sorry, guys.
You cannot break this podcast. You cannot break that which is broken.
But you were saying there was
Rogers
something...
in the first edition?
First edition! Thank you, fifth dimension, first edition, not really
related
in any way.
Listen, I see where the train of... I see the logic loop there, though. I see where that went. I totally understand why. Oh, that's right. I guess I didn't realize that was him.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I don't really know that much about anything.
Wow. It's kind of like remembering that, Lionel Richie was in the Commodores.
That much I knew.
It's like, it's a similar thing.
Sail on down the line, you know.
Yeah.
Coming on a ship to go, and Dolly Parton got the titty balls in her.
She's a monster. Coming straight from outer space.
He's been trying to tell us in
rip your
song.
Balls all over the place. And I said all over the place. O apostrophe E-R.
Oh, my goodness.
I want you to sing all of Penny Lover, starting now.
Penny Lover, won't you walk on? Don't you walk on by? That's all I know.
That's a shame.
Penny Lover.
What about Hello? Can you...
Oh, yes. I've been alone with you inside my mind. In my dreams, I've kissed your lips.
Why are you in train?
A thousand...
I've got my eyes. I've got my eyes closed, and I'm sculpting the Lionel Richie head. And then you're just in train. I open my eyes to look at my sculpture, and it's the train guy. And I've just sculpted a topless man. He's topless.
Hello, it's me. Are you looking for?
Oh,
I can see you in your hour. Rare, rare, meow, meow.
Now you've just gone crash test dummies.
All my sexual organs just melted.
Shriveled.
They just melted into like
one
a
ball
weird,
of wags.
Yeah. A paste.
It's like when you melt all the crayons together in there right now.
It's sort of funny that.
I'll never read.
The train voice guy, like that style is that to me, that's when you're doing like a jokey singing voice. You always do the bra, but they do it for real.
It's called queer.
Queer.
Yeah, that's what all the Australians call it. It's like K-W-A-A-A-A-Y.
Queer.
Got a queer.
Queer. Got a soul, got a sea.
Like they really sung like that.
I think that's...
That's some affected shit right there.
I think it's the, this is really important.
Yeah.
Really, really important what I'm
there's
saying.
Something, there's something in the 90s. Yeah, that's Creed. Yeah. But I wouldn't differentiate between the two. But there's something about the 90s that made people really add a lot of syllables, like... I remember Courtney Love would go, my friend! And that's like a constant joke in the new porn, where it's my friend! You're like, fuck.
Friend doesn't need that many syllables. Friend!
My friend!
Now, Courtney, I've noticed here that you're ending with friend, but there's still several measures of, I'll stretch it out.
You're afraid of feminist! Don't get so fucking emasculated. I'll fuck you if you want.
Doesn't mean anything to me.
You fucking got it from me.
I think it would be really funny if you just broke into a whole song once in a show just so you could do that voice. Have you ever thought?
Do you have to do a song to break into that voice?
No, but if you.
Just to do
we'll
the
just do it.
You just drop the guitar like down to your knees. Oh my real.
Nobody would get that.
You don't think so?
No.
We got it.
Oh, they'd get
only
it.
Only my bandmates get it. Well, and you guys get it, but
as long as you guys were amused
are
by it.
Are we in the band now? Is that what it is?
I gallop to you. Best lyric ever. I gallop to you. I can make fun of it, but I actually like a lot of whole songs, so I deserve whatever teasing I get back for it.
That's fine.
But I'm okay with that.
You know,
you'll get no teasing here.
I got up to you. I actually saw the words "I got up to you" on closed caption at the gym once. I just pissed my pants laughing. I had to call my friend on the phone. I was like, "You never want to guess what just happened." I saw the words on the screen like they were real words. I did. There was people exercising, and they were old, and it was amazing.
So, what other sort of weird? What other sort of like, because I have little buzz things like that. Like, if a band references another one of their songs in a song, then I'm always a little like, ah, come on. Even though the Beatles did it.
I love that.
It always kind of bothers me a little bit.
I like it specifically because of like Glass
the
Onion.
The Walrus was Paul. Like, that always
comes.
Oh,
my God. My God. I hate that. Hard.
It's a little weird. It's like, you don't want this music to be, you don't want the band to be too self-aware of the music, right? You just kind of want them to take you on a little journey, but you don't really want them referencing the rest of their catalog.
No.
I like it. I like it the same way I like when I find out how a Chris Nolan film is connected to another Chris Nolan film.
All right.
Like, oh, same world.
How come people don't sing about the concept of rock and roll anymore?
Because it's really stupid.
Well, because
no,
after...
No, that's not
listen,
it.
Listen.
Because it's fucking stupid.
After, I don't know.
After,
I don't think so.
After Huey Lewis told us where the heart of rock and roll was, or what it was, then I think
or
we
what,
need
what
nothing
about,
else.
Turn the page.
Oh,
come on.
Sieg.
The Sieg. I love the Sieg. I do.
Everything turned to shit after I was 18. Everything in that guy's life is everything, every great memory, every song of his is like everything was awesome before like 18 and then everything turned to shit. But like,
well, I mean, that's
after that,
life.
He was a big fucking rock star and he got to tour. So how bad was it really for him?
I don't know.
Who have you gotten to play with that you really, that blew your mind? Do you have, is the bucket list all checked off?
Well, no, not by any
no,
means.
No, she got hissed at, of course.
I got hissed at.
You still don't know who that was.
No, I don't think I should say.
That's okay. We'll tell us
I would only make fun of people that I would be welcoming them to make fun of me back.
Gotcha,
in
gotcha.
Person. Like, I make fun of Hole, but I actually like Patty Schemmel. She's a huge idol of mine. Madly in love with Patty Schemmel. She's badass.
She might also kind of make the same jokes, maybe.
She might. She's funny. I don't know. She might. And, you know, we got that fucking South Sound pride going on.
Yep.
But, like, this lady was just so fucking mean, and I have no idea why.
How are you when people come up and kind of fan out on you? Are you pretty good with it, or does it make you uncomfortable?
I'm pretty nice about it, I think. I mean, if I'm, like, trying to talk to my elderly grandma who can barely hear, and people come and go, excuse me, I just got to interrupt. I'm like, I'm talking to my elderly grandma here, and I will... fucking cut you because I see her once like every 10 years. Like, just give me, like, it's obvious what I'm doing here.
My trachea.
Yeah, I'll trach you because I'm my grandma is right here.
Do they ever confuse
and she
you?
Weighs like 60 pounds, so
oh,
don't
gosh.
Do that.
Someday I hope to get old and weigh 60 pounds.
Is that your plan?
Just wafting around, it would suck.
I'm
would
ready.
Suck.
I'm just ready.
I did once get interviewed. I won't say this lady's name either, but she was also a huge cunt. But she,
so she was in country music?
No, she's a writer,
okay.
Like
okay.
A writer. And I got introduced to her at some function of some kind, and I was like, "Oh man, I love you. I've read all your books. You know, I'm such a fan." And she goes, "No, I'm a big fan of you." And I was just
was it J.K. Rowling? It was J.K. Rowling.
No, it wasn't J.K. Rowling. I would have snuggle bombed her like I would have Katie Sagal. Was it J.K. Rowling? Who was this you doing?
Who invented a wizard?
Oh, I love the wizard. J.K. loved the wizard. No, No, this lady was a poisonous fucking drunk viper.
That's weird. I've never...
Yeah, it was weird.
I don't know why that's so funny. Poisonous drunk viper.
She was a, and then, but it was kind of later in the night. She was like standing in a crowd full of people in this like posh Manhattan party on this roof or something, just like cleaning out the inside of this dude's mouth that she had basically pulled his head backward to get his mouth open. I was just going in there like he was a fucking grade school water fountain. She was like, down. She was in him with her.
Who the fuck was this?
I'll tell you off camera, baby.
I'm and a really like, big fan of your mouth. Blah, 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 blah.
And she was totally making fun of me. Like, no, I'm a really big fan of you.
Did she know? Was she familiar with your work, or was she just think you were?
No, she was just being a cunt.
Oh, that sucks.
Well, it does, but there are some fucking whacked out people in the world, and you're like, okay, well.
Well, especially in the creative arts.
I liked your books. Still like them. Probably wouldn't read them again. No, knowing what I know.
It wasn't Mary Roach, was it?
No, it was not Mary Roach. the nicest person ever in the history of Mavis Staples.
Really?
Oh, that's cool.
She's like a hive of goodwill. I remember my friend Andy at Anti, the record company who Matt and the beautiful dog work for.
What are you
once
getting
on
paid,
my birthday, my like 38th birthday or something, I'm like in the grocery store, like shopping, and like I'm reaching for a box of tampons, and I answer the phone, and it's Mavis Staples, and she goes, "Nico, it's Mavis. I just want to wish you the happiest birthday." And I'm like holding the regular tampons in my hand, just crying at the Walgreens on the corner or something. Thank you so much. That's
you were in
so
one of those
nice.
Walgreens.
Well, it was tampons. There's a time limit on that kind of thing, so. Yeah, that was kind of lovely. And then, you know, every time I've ever met her since, she's just the sweetest human ever.
That's awesome. Well, that's nice. That's really nice. Did you tell her about the tampons? Or you didn't ring her?
Later I did, yeah. She laughed.
When you called me before I had
She
tampons.
Laughed. She did. She's got a good sense of humor.
Is there anyone that you've met that you didn't think would be that funny that turned out to be hilarious?
Scott Stapp from Creed.
I think Nick Cave is pretty fucking hilarious. I don't know. People think he's quite serious, but I think he's really just kind of this funny dad, you know?
Yeah.
He's, like, we toured with them a couple times, and they were one of those bands that, like, every single show was so fucking good. Like, I never watched the other bands every single night because I'm usually so tired, but my entire band would watch them every single night because it was so crazy good. And then he's just a sweet, funny, lovable dad. So, but then there's like goth chicks outside, like, "I'll give you $500 for your pass. I need to meet him. He's my soulmate." Like, his fans were the fucking craziest people ever. And I don't know, the security guards, like, it was like a Justin Bieber show, but like the most tattooed girls you've ever seen. Like, I remember this one girl was trying to get backstage and just kind of trying to talk the backstage, you know, security dude. And there's people lined up behind her trying to convince him of the same thing. And she's just like, "Oh my God, you don't understand. I've met him like three other times." And he was just like kind of laughing, like, "What do I do?"
All right. Luckily,
I'm a big guy and I just keep going, "No," but.
Wow.
It's kind of nice when you have. I mean, your fans are kind of nice. That must be sort of. I mean, like, I always. It's
we
sort
have
of,
nice fans.
We have really nice fans. Like, people who come to see us are really, really, really sweet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I can't imagine having fans that you were like, "It's weird. I'm making a thing and I'm connecting with a group of people that I don't know if I would hang out with." Like, that I don't understand. But I know it happens. But it feels weird.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of been the really nice thing about Twitter. You know, people are like, "You're really into Twitter. What's up with that?" And I talked to Katie Lang about this too, actually. And. She was like, "I love Twitter." And I'm like, "Yeah, it's really great." And she said, "You know, this is going to make me sound like an ass, but I didn't realize how much I loved my audience." She's like, "I get to talk to them and they're really smart and funny." Like, and she's just a really positive, great human, you know? And I was just like, That's the best way to put that ever. Thank you for
Why
that.
Are you holding tampons? I'm sorry. It just always happens when I'm having an emotional moment.
I actually use them for tears. Not
I'm
for...
always moist. Always.
Do you feel like, in general, are you pretty, are you a happy person or a cynical person? Or are you happy a lot of the time?
I'm kind of a happy, evil person. But, like, in a nice way. I mean, I did make fun of some people today, but...
They deserved it.
No, but
they kind of did.
But she said that if she saw them in person, you would do that in person, and you would let them make fun of you back. So I feel like
I
that's fair.
I would.
It's not like you're casting...
I wouldn't just show up and be like, what are you talking about? God, can't you take a joke? I'd be like, yeah. I made fun of you.
You'd be like, I'm such a big fan of yours.
Oh, man. That was so good. I was just frozen. I was like, this is incredible. Wow. Do you I couldn't even be upset. It was so weird.
Do you like, like sort of weird, hilarious chaos?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes. Not on dates or anything, but it, like just in the world. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are you can you date when you're a musician?
No.
It's impossible, right?
Yeah. Or a woman. You can't date if you're a woman or a musician.
So the combination of those things is difficult. Two things are bad. Because I guess the choices would either be, I don't see you for a large chunk of time, or you have to come with me, and then we're always in each other's space all the time, and that could probably not be the best.
Well, I think it's just over. It's just impossible, basically. Because I'm trying to think of, like, what would be the alternative or the out or how to make it work, and I'm like, nope, I don't got it. It's really depressing, so I'll have to make some jokes.
Well,
about
our
it
marriage
really
will work. I'm on the road sometimes, and you're on the road, and we get it. We get it.
Listen, as long as you play in cities where there's some kind of a Gordon Ramsay restaurant,
yeah,
Matt will be really happy.
Yeah, I like a good beef Wellington.
You want to stay at the London when we're in New York, babe?
Yeah.
I love those BLTs.
Oh my God, they're great.
I actually met Gordon Ramsay once in person. I had a major sexual attraction to him. I was just like, oh, his pheromones or something. Super manly. I don't know.
You see that. It's funny. You see that on Kitchen Nightmares when, like, women will greet him.
He was so nice. And he just had, like, Norm MacDonald had that effect on me, too. It's only two times it's ever happened where I'm like, yeah, I would fucking sleep with you right here. Like, there's some sort of manliness coming off you that I don't even understand. I'm just like... Sure.
Is Gordon tall?
Yeah.
Because Norm's pretty fucking tall.
6'1", mm-hmm. 6'2".
Yeah.
Yeah, Norm's very tall. Norm, I like... Whenever I've met Norm, it's also been really... He's been really cool. But I've never met Gordon Ramsay. I've seen him from a distance. And I've gone, Gordon.
He was really nice.
But I said it that loud, so he probably didn't hear me.
He felt it.
Yeah?
He felt it.
He felt my energy?
Mm-hmm.
Gordon. He knows all. Matt, I can hear you.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus was also that hot in person, too, though.
Oh, she,
I'm like,
she
damn,
like it, yeah.
Lady, you got it going on. I didn't say that to her, but it was pretty close.
You probably
she could probably tell by my eyes. I probably just went.
Have you ever seen Natalie Portman in person?
No,
she's got that too.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt
it. It's like, all right, I get it.
Yeah, there are some people that television or film, you get that they're attractive, but until you see them in person, you're just like, Jesus. Like there are some people that just.
Oh, and Jude Law.
Jude Law.
Yeah.
I've never seen
Jude Law.
Jude Law
is also,
person.
He's so pretty.
But I think he's kind of, is Jude Law like letting himself go a little bit?
I like how you have
Katie,
to
Katie, can
Googling.
You find out if Jude Law is letting himself go a little bit?
Like
he deserves
pretend
to.
Pretend you have to look it up and then it's not already
There's
on a
only
window.
So many cummerbunds and like weird waistcoats that you have to wear throughout your career before you just get to go, okay, you get a break now.
You don't have to do that.
You can just say waistcoat. They're all fucking weird.
He looks exactly the same.
That's fine. You know, he's taking it like a man.
Yeah,
not like
just
I
means
would take
he's
it.
Virile and has a little bit of extra testosterone.
You know, the Brits can lose their hair in a very charming way, and it doesn't look bad. It doesn't, it's, I don't know, it just, it suits them somehow.
It's like they say the word cunt. It just sounds cute
it
when
sounds
they say it.
It sounds adorable when
I know.
They say it.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds adorable. They have adorable, cunty hair.
It's no less fun when I say it, but it doesn't have the same effect.
No, it's adorable when you say it. I think it sounds good. When it
I think that word still has power for you. Don't worry about it.
I think it's good.
Well,
I'll
never
just
stop.
Adorable.
Just blah
just
blah,
adorable.
Blah blah. It can be adorable.
Yeah.
I'll take it. Guys, I'll take it.
When is your album come out that you were recording when I first started?
On the 3rd.
September 3rd? September 3rd.
That is
Beyonce's
right around the corner.
Birthday.
You planned it that way, right?
I certainly fucking did. She deserves something really good this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what can't he buy her? And I couldn't think of anything. So I was like, I'm going to make the fucking quilt of my soul for you, B. Which I did. And she might not notice, but.
What is the album called? It's a long title, isn't it?
It's called I Can Fuck This Up, too. The worse things get, the harder I fight. The harder I fight, the more I love you.
Is that one of
Beyonce, Beyonce.
Beyonce Knowles.
Yeah. I'm actually a pretty huge Beyonce fan.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know anyone that dislikes
Beyonce. Oh, I don't dislike her at all.
Haven't you noticed that, not about her, but like, I tweeted this the other day. It's like, everywhere I go, especially like gyms, like there's some like new R&B hit and it's Halo, but it's like somebody else going in the USA, but it's like the same melody. And you're like, when is she going to freak on some bitches? Because that song's been done like 3 times since Halo came out.
I think that happens very frequently in the sort of R&B.
But that was
hook. They find a hook and then everyone rides that hook. Like, I mean, no
and
one,
is she just
I don't
like,
hear
it's
auto-tuning
just...
anymore, but that was a hook that
dude,
I heard.
I hear it like...
Do you know what it is? It's the...
Well, I mean, you know what I mean. I don't hear the deliberate, let's make
but,
sure
but
it,
but it's a marketing
like
thing, though, where they... But they've always done that. They've always done that in music. Like, you know, didn't the... Even, like, the Bee Gees, didn't they, like, not put the name of their band on their earlier records so people would think it was the Beatles? Like, they always sort of, like...
That sounds made up.
I'm serious. I saw it in...
There's some crazy things
Where did you
do.
See it?
Like, at a Behind the Music or something.
Oh.
That
Well, they have fact checkers.
But
so
the...
Sometimes people just fuck up, though. Like,
they do.
I put out a record and I didn't list the mastering engineer, who's one of my oldest friends. And luckily, he's such a good dude. He just called me. He goes, you left me off of there. And I was like, oh, fuck. I will repress it or redo that. And so we did because it was... really fucking rude.
Well, that was nice of you that you fixed it.
Well, yeah, he mastered it. It's a hard job.
That is hard.
It's like you give him the fucking cake and he puts the frosting on it and you're like, thank you, it looks beautiful. Here we go.
But all the you know, like releasing similar hooks is basically just the same as the generic cereal bags on the bottom shelf underneath Cheerios, where it's like honey circles. You know?
Oh, I could fucking take down a bag of honey circles right now.
How's Seven doing over there?
He's hanging in there.
He's doing great. How old is this dog?
He's about 2 years old.
That's it?
Yeah.
This is a 2-year-old dog?
I know.
It's a teenager.
Why is he not running around and eating shit and crapping on things?
He's got some kind of old soul in his body, and he's just taking it in.
He's like 1,000 years old.
He's making oxygen for us to breathe right now, so he's in his stasis.
You know, can I also say, not to be weird, but he matches your pants very well, too.
He's blending in. I hope you weren't going to notice that he was here.
Yeah,
it's going to be a problem, you know.
No.
I figured, well, if it was, then maybe you just think it would be a furry...
I heard the rattling of a leash, and I just thought you had your dick on a leash. And then I looked closer, and I saw that
you
there
did have
a,
your Triple X shirt on.
There is a Triple X shirt on.
You love that movie so much.
I mean, come on, it's Vin Diesel. So that comes out September 3rd,
yep.
Which is soon. So we'll make sure and get this up soon so that happens. Is there anything else you want to plug or talk about while you're here before we release you back into Los Angeles?
Well, we don't have to plug anything. Just talking about dumb shit is pretty fun.
It's fun.
For me, I like it.
have you ever thought about doing a podcast or something where you just get to kind of rant every week?
Yeah, it would be really fun, but there's no time to do that. So I would do it, but... I think it just works better if I guest on people's stuff because I don't like people think that you just come in here and you're just funny and they don't think that you work on it, but it's a lot of work. So,
well, for Katie, Chris and I sort of just show up and
Katie's the one that has to produce the show and pull everything together and post it and frame it.
And you look great doing it.
You could do from the road, from the tour. You could do a weekly vlog. You could do like a little, just like rant at a camera for like 3 or 4 minutes, you know?
But then you'd have to see my face on a camera, and that'd be weird.
Come on.
But you could always wear a different hat. And be like, oh my God, what hat is he going to wear?
I look terrible in hats.
I don't know that.
Well, you would.
Prove it.
That could just be a you thing. That's a weird thing that you think about yourself. So don't you feel like everyone's got something where they're like, I have the worst jawline. And you're like, what are you talking about?
I just have this weird cubist Ukrainian face where it's like, I never look the same twice in photos. Like, I just, there's all these flat angles and hooks and things.
You're like a chameleon.
It's like different. It's like several different reflective surfaces that make up one visage. It's a defense mechanism.
No, we're comics. We understand the defense mechanisms. But you're not. Are you hard on yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Virgo. Of course, I'm hard on myself.
Oh my gosh. So
yeah, I'm really hard on myself, but I'm also pretty nice to myself.
Well, that's good.
But I just really want to do a good job. That's what I really want. Because it's like you're saying, like, you can't date anybody. You don't, like, I don't have a husband or a family or anything. Like, well, I fucking married this shit. The best, I mean, I better fucking go from journeyman to master at some point. Or at least really fucking try. Like, you better get into the fucking anti-gravity suit and spend your fucking 26 hours in the fucking lead chamber or whatever the hell you have to do, your sensory deprivation pod, mm-hmm. and come out the other side fucking Pavarotti if you've jettisoned the rest of your earthly joys for music.
But at some point you might be like, yeah, I'll take a break. Do you feel like you would ever take a break from music, or do you just feel like you would have to do it?
I would, but it wouldn't be very long. I mean, this is going to sound like I'm pretty into myself, but I'm really fucking healthy. So I can't imagine it. Like, I can't imagine at what age I would not sing out loud to people. But I could go home for a month and make, like, freaky little dioramas out of matchbooks or something.
Macrame?
Please do that.
I wouldn't macrame, but that was the first word that came to me earlier. Like, yeah. I think I was looking for needlepoint, and I came up with macrame.
No, but I want you to make dioramas with matchbooks. That sounds like fun.
I can do that.
Yeah.
I've been saving them.
What would be your first diorama?
Frasier.
No, that's his diorama.
That's
I don't want to take his
I'm doing Frasier's condo.
Could you do me a favor and partner with Kelly Hogan on that one? Can she be your lab partner on the Frasier? She is amazing at making little tiny doll furniture, too.
Is she on Twitter? I'll ask her right now.
She is, at Hogan here. She's going to faint when she gets that. And, like, she'll seriously mail you something in the mail, like, I made a tiny Barca lounger for Dad.
All right, so he would do Frasier. Which one would you do? What would your diorama be?
My diorama would be... Oh, I'm having option anxiety now. keep talking about something else and it'll come to me and I'll just blurt it out.
There are a lot of...
I just put you on the spot, didn't I?
No, I have option anxiety. I could talk about anything shit in the world. We're at a standstill.
It's like when the submarine fires underwater and the missile turns around and explodes the submarine.
Game over, man! I could talk about Tucson. Why don't I talk about Tucson?
What do you got?
Flandreau Science Center. Did you ever go there?
No.
It's like a smaller little, like, they had little laser shows,
mm-hmm.
and it was a smaller observatory. It was on the campus. It was on the university campus, mm-hmm. And it was really awesome. And then I think it might, you remember there was that period of time where, I don't know if they're still doing this in Arizona, but they're having, like most of the country, horrible budget problems. And so, like, all the rest areas on the highways were shut down for a lot of days. And I think maybe that this science center lost funding for a while, but they might be back.
Okay, here's the tweet I just sent.
What do you got?
I need tiny furniture for my diorama of Fraser's apartment. Can you make a tiny piano stool? Can she do
now,
it?
Out of context.
I think that she might be a little insulted that you only asked her to make a piano stool.
Well, I mean, we're going to see what the piano stool is like before I ask her.
No, I'm telling you.
What
she's,
does she need?
She's like a fucking Fabergé.
Could I ask her to make a replica of Martin's chair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any dog effects that
now
the dog
just,
needs?
She's gonna start
Eddie?
Getting all these weird Frasier tweets out of nowhere.
It's only one.
And
tweet.
You know what? She's gonna fucking love it. As one of her closest friends, I can tell you, no question, this is going to make her week. She's a good woman.
Should I CC you on it or just send it blind? She's like,
just send
it
blind.
Who the fuck is this?
Just send it blind, please, because...
You're done.
Now you kind of want to see if she responds to it.
Oh, she will. She's the nicest person. She's not going to leave a fellow Frasier fan in the dirt alone.
She better not.
Oh, you have to get out. You have to leave?
I don't really want to, though. Can we just not? Can we just stay here?
Matt, just... Shh.
We're in. I want to go.
Where do you have to go?
What?
Who's
you can say.
No,
we don't talk on
we
it,
need
though.
To know whose it is.
Huh? Oh, Bang Bang, you're doing Scott's. Yeah, yeah.
I can go between these many worlds.
Yes, Scott.
Would you like me to take them a greeting?
Where are we?
Just tell them we said hi.
I will deliver your greeting.
I'm trying to... I don't know what to say to... I mean, we all did comedy together. Scott used to run the best comedy show in Los Angeles for like 10 years. We all started stand-up together around the same time.
Really?
Yes. Scott's very nice. Bang Bang's a fun show. You'll have fun.
Yeah, no, it is. We love
stand-up comedy. Some brave shit.
Well,
how do you guys do that?
I don't think it's any brave... I don't think it's any braver than... I mean, getting up and fucking singing and worrying about, oh, are you going to lose your voice? Or is everything going to be in tune? Like, there's so many moving parts with music. With stand-up, it's just like... It's me and the microphone, and that's it.
But it's so nude. It's so fucking nude.
Yes, but it's so nimble at the same time. I'm not stuck to... My best friend and I did a musical comedy thing for a while. And like, it was just a two-man musical comedy duo. And the thing that used to frustrate us about it is that the songs were basically like sketches. So you'd get halfway through one, and if people weren't into it, you're like, I still got to finish this. Like, at least with stand-up... You can, oh, if they're not getting something, you can zing, you could just like whip around really fast or go into the crowd. I love the freedom of it. I love how nimble you can be with it. So it doesn't bother me. And I obviously, you know, we're attention whores for some reason or other.
Speak
who knows?
For yourself. Look at me.
Why we're broken. Who knows why we're broken and need strangers to validate us. Who knows? But
it's beautiful.
It's really beautiful. It's really sweet. Yeah. Tell the Bang Bang guys we said hi.
I will.
And it's good to see you. So you're out.
You too. And you know what? I just remembered who my favorite comedian is.
What? It's the perfect way to end.
Yeah. Daniel Kitson is my favorite comedian.
Oh, my God. So fucking funny.
Dude is a genius.
Do you know him?
I've met him. And he's fucking nice, as you'd expect.
I feel like not
anyone. Oh, I'm a big fan of yours, too.
No. Believe it or not, he did not do that. And he didn't hiss in my face either, which was
not
pretty
that
sweet
many,
of him.
You know, he's not that known outside of comedy nerd circles in
the
States.
Well, that's because he doesn't film anything.
Yeah, but I feel like...
But,
still,
you know, knowing comedians, they tipped me off to the fact that he was performing in Brooklyn, and they were like, you got to see him, because he's really amazing, and like kind of the Gandalf of comedy right now, and he will not appear on film like a vampire, and I was like, okay!
You got to go see that.
And I went and saw him, and the crazy roundabout things he did... Without like swearing or being really negative and going for the cheap joke, like I kind of was a little teary. Like, you just invited all of us to like he was kind of like the anti Louis C.K.
It
was
like,
it was like, you know, Louis C.K. is really funny and genius, but I always feel like he's going personally to me, Nico. I fucking hate you and disrespect you hard. Thank you for laughing at my comedy, bitch. And then with him, I was like, yes, I do want to come to your Disneyland. Thank you for offering.
I want to come to your comedy park.
Thank you. Thank you.
Are you making any music videos for the new album?
I tried, but I'm a terrible dancer.
You don't have
you
to dance.
You think I'm kidding.
You don't have to dance.
Too late.
Oh, shit. Actually, if you're a really terrible dancer, it would probably be a huge video.
It's so not good. I used to think I was a good dancer, too. And I think I'm suffering a bit of depression from learning what a terrible dancer I really am.
Maybe you're just a different kind of
dancer. No.
Okay. All right.
I can do the Roger Rabbit really good.
Do that. Are you kidding? If you just did that in your video, it'd be huge. Huge.
I tried.
All right.
But the Roger Rabbit's not really selling these days. You know what I'm saying?
It's time to bring it back. Bringing it back.
No.
There's still a Roger Rabbit ride in Toontown. Disneyland, if anyone wants to go, check
okay.
it out.
Well, we'll go while she goes.
You know what the most amazing thing about Disneyland is? And I've never, I don't know if it's still there, but like I remember going with my grandma when I was a kid. This will be the last thing I say, I promise. I remember going, and like this influenced the rest of my fucking life. The whole, my, like I think about it still, but I remember going there and seeing the Swiss Family Robinson treehouse, and that was really cool, but I slammed my hand in the turnstile and it really hurt, and I think I managed not to cry, but barely. And then we went to that tiki room where the walls sing and stuff, and I'm like, okay, that shit's pretty good. And I knew that we were saving the most amazing shit for later, but in the line where you used to wait for the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, there was a restaurant right there.
Yeah.
And there was like these cattails.
Blue Bayou.
Yeah, and there was cattails like in between you and the restaurant, and they had fake fireflies that would light up.
They still do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember being like, that's the fucking coolest thing I've ever seen. Like, if I could explain to anyone, like, my entire artistic aesthetic, that's it right there. You made me fireflies so that when I was waiting to eat that fucking disgusting burger in there, I would have these fireflies look at. And for some reason, that really blew my mind.
That just made it okay.
Yeah. I mean, I like the haunted house a lot, but that is what sticks with me for some reason.
I like that. I like that she notices those little things.
I'm simple,
I always,
man.
I always love those because they kind of go around in circles. I think they're on some sort of a
wire.
Yeah, don't explain it. Just let it happen.
All right, sorry.
I know. And then in electronics class in art school, you know, we did all these motherboards and all this crazy stuff, like, you know, sound-activated switches that make your crazy installations do stuff. Like, all I wanted to use was the mercury switch. Just turn it on, turn it off. Turn it on. It was like those things that go, and then you set them up. Never got further than that in my wide-eyed.
I feel like a good way to end the podcast is by a 90s band singing the haunted house theme. When the crystals clear and the crystals clear, heavy halls materialize. Grim grinning ghouls come out of social house.
How do you know that song?
Because I've been to Disney. I have a fucking annual pass. I've been to Disneyland a million times.
Me too. God. But I just let him sing it.
I just go for the Belgian waffles.
They're really
and
good.
And good day.
Scene.
They're shaped like Mickey.
Is this room actually stretching? Or is it your imagination?
No, it's just the elevator.
Don't
just,
ruin the
just
magic.
The
just the annoying kid at Disney that just explains everything.
Is that ride still in good repair?
Yeah.
It's got to be like a museum of a ride now, right?
The Haunted House?
In a way, yeah.
Yeah, they've updated it. They updated it.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you. Like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail. Or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies and brands to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity, a how-to guide for navigating life's challenges from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.